Where do I normally put my hands?
Welcome to Tear Gas and Gum Drops, the podcast dedicated to helping people in ministry and mission bring spiritual truths and theological ideas into the complex world of day-to-day life. My name's Chris Morton. I'm here in Austin, Texas, and I am here with...
Kyle Sapp, and I'm here in the Bay Area of California, specifically Antioch. Not that anyone knows where that is. See, everyone asks me that, and then I tell them, like, oh, I have no idea where that is. Like, why did you ask then? We're east of Oakland, northeast-ish of Oakland, about an hour, give or take.
Yeah, and so I'm here in Austin, and I am a bivocational church planter. I helped launch a little church community called Austin Mustard Seed about, 6 months ago when we went public, and we're just having a ton of fun getting to know each other and trying to figure out what it means to be a church together. And to pay the bills, I have a business called MortonWordsmith.com where I help people with their content and web stuff, so anything on the web with words, and that's what I do. And this is my buddy Kyle. Kyle, tell us where you're at and what you're doing.
Well, before I do that, I just wanted to say I was thinking about it this morning, and I love the name of your church plant.
Yeah.
It seems I was thinking about other church plants' names and like how they're usually like weird Latin words or like strange verbs.
And we came out of a church with a weird Latin word, so.
Yeah. It's like super hipster church planty to do. We can't have a church unless it has a cool name. But anyway, I loved yours because it didn't seem like that. Anyway, I am in the Bay Area, in Antioch. I've been here at the Eastside Church since 2006. I am just a regular old youth minister. I don't have any cool titles like bivocational, which my buddy Chris excels at. It sounds cool. It sounds super awesome. It's like, I'm bivocational. I'm a youth minister. Let's see. Our congregation is a mostly blue-collar. We've been around since, we're like 60-some-odd years old. We're close to 70, I think. We've got about 150 to 180 people on average. Our youth ministry at its current iteration has probably good, solid core.
Iteration?
It's like, an iteration is like, it's like a version of something, but it's...
From idly?
No, iteration. It's like an it's a word, I swear.
Keep going.
Anyway, in its current form, it's got 8 high schoolers and 6 to 8 junior high kids out of my core that I'm going to see on a regular basis every week. I think we minister to 21 families total.
Wow, so you're really in their lives, it sounds like.
Yeah, for the most part, I really enjoy, and we've done a big push about me getting out of my office and into the lives of the kids and going to their games or their theater performances or their band things and just getting to watch and witness to their life as it develops, which I think is probably the greatest pleasure being a youth minister is I get to not only witness to the power and the wonder of Jesus, but I also get to witness to all of these lives as they grow up and as they take shape and form, which is it's really fun. Sometimes I feel like I'm Watu from the Marvel Universe, except then I have to speak and do stuff.
Watu is not – I'm a DC guy, so Batman, Superman, I know a little bit about Green Lantern. Watu, I'm not sure, familiar with this guy.
He's like a bald dude. I don't know the whole backstory. I'm not as into comics as I used to be back in the, when I was 25. But he's like a watcher. He like watches the universe and observes, and is not technically supposed to like do stuff in it, but he does anyway because he's got a heart of gold for the human race.
He's like the Eugene Peterson of the Marvel Universe.
No, not at all.
Not at all?
Not at all. I don't even know what that means.
Peterson, in his memoir, talks about the role of a pastor is to witness to a time and place and the people there.
Oh.
So, anyway.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, he's the Eugene Peterson of the Marvel Universe.
Yeah, so, well, your situation, and we won't spend too much time on this. We'll get tell a little bit about our backstory, too. But your situation is pretty polar opposite of mine, because you're a married guy with a little kid in a blue-collar suburb in California, and I'm in Austin, Texas, which as of the last few months is officially right now the fastest growing metropolitan statistical area in the country. We have 140 people that move here every day. It's really 140 people.
That's like my church a day going to your town.
Austin, Texas.
That's so funny.
Yeah. And you know, we went from this kind of like sleepy hippie town in the 70s and 80s to kind of having this cool music vibe to really becoming this weird Texas take on San Francisco and Portland, but here in our own place. And so I'm in the city, and I'm working mostly with young adults, young families. Where we're planting isn't super diverse, unfortunately, our neighborhood, but we do have some of that. The thing about Austin is it's really friendly to entrepreneurialism and doing things outside the box. So everybody is starting something all the time. Everyone you know is starting something or has a side project. People are walking around with their iPhones and showing you the app they just made or talking about getting venture capital while they're on their way to play a concert that night. And so being a startup church in a city like that, in a way, it's really just kind of the normal cultural thing to do here. So it's pretty different. And like I said, we've been meeting for about 6 months, and it's really been cool to see that grow and kind of come together. And what's probably been the thing I've been most excited about with that is people like immediately have jumped on to this, like, we do life together and we take care of each other thing that I think is kind of important to church. You read about that in Acts 2, and I remember that was one of our first sermons. Like any good church plant, we do an Acts 2 sermon like right off the bat, and we were talking about sharing stuff. Well, the next day one guy shows up in another guy's truck. I'm like, that's, since when did you have a truck? He's like, oh, that's so-and-so's truck. He's letting me borrow it. I'm like, didn't you guys just meet like a week and a half ago and you have like an indefinite loan on this kind of stranger's truck? And that's just been kind of the heart since day one, is people have been like, yeah, you know, this is what we do. We hang out and we share life. And so it's really easy to throw parties or find babysitters and stuff like that. It's a cool little experience that we're having right now as a young church plant.
Yeah, and when I was visiting you guys, I felt that, like, you were doing a liturgy and we were speaking and call and response thing, and I remember just stopping for a minute and taking it all in, that you could tell there was something good that was happening in that room with those people. It was very special, and so kudos to you. I agree. I echo what you just said. So you're not just, you know, talking about yourself and making it sound better than it actually is. It actually is like that.
Well, thank you. And I think we're just, we've been learning from some really smart people and just kind of stealing what they do. And, you know, at the end of the day, it's the Holy Spirit at work in the community. But enough of that spiritual mumbo jumbo. I want to, Kyle, I want to tell our audience, which I think is maybe my mom and your wife and whoever else.
Yeah, I don't know if my wife will listen to this.
But why don't you just tell everybody like our backstory, why we met and why we decided to do this, and I'll just sprinkle in. But do you remember how we met?
Do I remember how you and I met?
Yeah.
Yes, I do. First of all, I would like to say hi, Mrs. Morton. It is a pleasure to talk to you about your son with you listening. I really enjoyed the cookies you made me, and they were very tasty. So, yes, we met. We met in a, I was kind of in a dark point in my life. I had joined a motorcycle gang, and I was driving through Little Rock, and we saw this like food truck, it was called Morton's Meats. And so we stopped over because we're a motorcycle gang, and we really love meat. As in our motorcycle gang, that was our motto. It was meat. So anyway, so Morton's Meats, and you were the food truck owner, and you had made this weird hipster sandwich that had like sliced ham and some kind of like spare rib wrapped in a pig stomach lining with an Asian slaw on top of a baguette, which sounded disgusting, and yet somehow those flavors all kind of fused together in a wonderful dance in my mouth.
I believe that's the one that we called the mouth jollies.
Oh, I think so. I think that was exactly what we called it, which I think you named it that just to hear a motorcycle club order like 40 mouth jollies. Buford, my best buddy in the motorcycle gang, it took him a while to order a mouth jolly, but eventually I think he ended up ordering two of them. Awesome. So, actually, I have no idea how we met. I assume we met in college. I assume we met in choir, right?
Yeah, so my first clear memory of you I'll tell my first clear memory of you and one of my other favorite memories of you from college.
Okay.
And they were both in choir, so Kyle and I are both really manly men. We like to lift heavy objects. We chop down trees.
Join motorcycle clubs.
I once saw him wrestle a goat to the ground and sacrifice it to Jesus. But no, the first time I remember...
Weird cult Christianity days.
Yeah, well, you know, it's missional.
Sure.
But the first time I remember meeting you was we were on the choir bus, because we're manly men that did that, and
okay,
I think we were on our way back from Memphis, driving from Memphis to Searcy, Arkansas, and you were trying to impress some girl, and the way that you were doing it was by reenacting all of Star Wars Episode 4, A New Hope, with her stuffed animals, pretty much line by line.
For the record, I wasn't trying to impress that girl so much as I was really quiet back in those days. I think I spent the entire first semester of my college experiencing nothing. Like I said, nothing to anyone. Just head down, walk, go to class, and move on. And that particular choir trip, I was just really bored and wanted to entertain myself.
Yeah, well, we ended up entertaining the whole bus and breaking out of whatever that was, because I know I'm not the only one that remembers that. And I'm pretty sure by the end of the weekend you had done all three episodes. Did you get to the prequels?
No. First of all, only episode one had come out.
Okay.
And that was a horrible movie. So. No, I just did. I did Return of the Jedi, and we used. I remember we used a stuffed crab as the Death Star.
Yeah.
And Luke Skywalker was played by a stuffed penguin.
Nice.
Who also converted into an X-wing.
Nice.
Converted so much as just I made him lay flat and stuck his head out and then flew him around. It counts. It's like a transformer, I guess.
Yeah. Well, I. Yeah, the other time I remember remember you really clearly from those days was the next semester, which was the fall of our sophomore year, and we were in the choir room, and it was at the beginning of class, and it was supposed to be only sophomores and up. None of the freshmen were allowed in. And
oh, God.
Can I say her name?
yeah, it was
Whitney Digg.
Yeah.
And you immediately hit a knee and asked her to marry you, having sight unseen.
She had actually walked out of the room when I did that.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't think she saw me. She may have heard me. I don't know.
And the reason that I remember that story is a couple of years ago when I was in California for your wedding. You made some side comment about how that it was the second time you'd ever proposed to a woman.
Yeah.
When you proposed to your wife, Aaron.
Did you? I feel really bad because you have all these great memories of me, and I have a really horrible memory, and probably I'm just really self-indulgent. Did you go on a camping trip with me and Adam where we forgot a tent? Was that you? No, you were the guy. We were going on choir tour, and I just bought my new car, and we got an hour and a half out of Searcy towards Memphis. We were going to, like, Freed Hardman or something, and you were like, oh, crap, I left my tux in the choir room. And I need
that. That sounds like something I'd do.
Yeah, and then we had to drive all the way back to Searcy. We were so late. Doc was so not mad at us because there was another group that stopped at Red Lobster on the way, and he was mad at them. So us being, like, an hour and a half late had nothing on their, like, 5 hours being late because of Red Lobster. And then I remember having a lot of general conversations, but
I don't know.
So I just feel bad. I feel like a bad friend.
I don't feel bad. I mean, I think that's like the reality of life is that, you know, whatever. Like, not every moment is like super powerful. And honestly, that's kind of I'm about to make a transition. Watch this. That's okay. Really kind of what this podcast is about.
Ooh, segue.
Because there's so much like lofty theological ideas out there and, you know, sexy models of people that are trying to, not like models that are sexy, but models of doing things, ways of approaching church that are popular, and people always want to talk about that, and people don't hear a lot of talk about what it looks like on the ground day in, day out. You know, I don't know if you took a class where they taught you how to go to some kid's awful music recital and show them the love of Jesus, but that is a big part of, you know, that you probably didn't cover that in seminary, but that's a big part of your life. And so I think it's totally normal to have good, meaningful relationship like I think you and I do without having that, here's a, you know, some incredible story. That's just okay. And I think that's, you know, so here's my question for you about that. So this is kind of how it went down. I texted you a few weeks ago. You were planning on coming out here to Austin for a wedding. And I texted you and just said, hey, we should have a podcast.
Because people totally want to listen to us banter.
Right. And you, like, didn't even blink. You're like, sure, okay, let's have a podcast. And then when you were here, I said, hey, remember how we said we were going to have a podcast? And you were like, yeah. And I said, I think the most important part of having a podcast is that we have to come up with a name for it. And you immediately said,
tear gas and gumdrops.
Tear gas and gumdrops.
And then you mocked me.
I did.
You mocked me for it.
I did, but so tell us what you mean when you say tear gas and gumdrops.
All right, fine, but you don't get to mock me. Yeah. Well, first of all, I just like kind of the sound, the double G's, the gas and the gumdrops. But I was thinking about being boots on the ground, which is kind of your thing these days, which is a really great it's a really great phrase for ministry, particularly in light of the fact that most of my books that I read are those high theological N.T. Wright books that quote himself and I'm pretty sure I don't understand two-thirds of it, but I feel like I'm smart because I'm reading an N.T. Wright book. And when I was thinking about like what life is like, I was thinking that life is a juxtaposition of pain and agony and chaos with joy and fulfillment and completion, kind of like tear gas and gumdrops. Tear gas is pain, it's misery, it's agony. No one's like, yeah, I just got tear gassed, unless they're high. And gumdrops represent, you know, like, who doesn't love a good candy? I'm not a big fan of gumdrops, ironically, but, you know, I love what a gumdrop represents, just that childhood, almost somewhat naive joy that you experience. Like, when you think about gumdrops, my first thought is, like, Candyland. It's like a very simple, joyful game that I would still play to this day. and so both of those things kind of stand hand in hand. But life is not one thing or the other. It's both. And ministry is not, you know, always good. It's good and bad. It's joy and pain. It's, you know, so tear gas and gumdrops.
Tear gas and gumdrops.
Plus, it would make an awesome shirt.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, on my end, so I started, actually, about the time I knew you, I don't know if you did this, but it was in 2000. I put this on my resume, believe it or not. in 2002, I first started a Zanga account.
Oh, yeah, me too. Who didn't?
And that was my first venture into blogging and web logging, as I believe we called it back then. Just having a space online to pour your thoughts. And for whatever reason, I've continued to do that for 10 plus years now.
You still have a Zanga account? That's impressive.
I do not have a Zanga. I've moved to Blogger and now a self-hosted WordPress at chrismorton.info. But what I've found lately is that being, quote, boots on the ground, being just doing day in, day out ministry, trying to figure out what it means to be a church in our context, I'm having a lot of conversations with myself because I'm not finding a lot of people who are talking about some of the things that we have to deal with. On my end, it's the reality of bivocational ministry and the limitations of that. And I think that I'd love to hear, you know, some of the things that are on your end that you don't, that you're dealing with every day. But I was, you know, just thinking, man, it would be so good to have somebody to work through some of these ideas that I've explored on the blog and with our church community here. And because I have a feeling that what some of these things that I'm struggling with and trying to articulate are things that everybody's dealing with, but people aren't just talking about it. So I'll give you an example here.
Okay.
So I posted on my Facebook account today, and you can tell me if you agree with this or not. But I said we need more categories than church, unchurched, and dechurched.
I saw that.
Something like barely holding on to their faith after getting the crap kicked out of you by church. I just don't know how to say that in one simple little category.
Sure, sure. And that's probably the, you know, the, in light of our culture that we have now, there's also probably the, you know, holding on to faith while holding on to other faiths at the same time. Like, do we have something like, do we have a category like that? Like, we had church members for a while who believed in reincarnation. Mm-hmm. And, you know, whether you can or shouldn't or do or don't or, you know, any of those weird categories of existence, it was interesting to me to see that they loved Jesus and they were very faithful to him. And for whatever reason, they still had, you know, reincarnation. They're not even like, they're white people. They're not like, you know, they don't have a Hindu background. They're white people.
Right.
So it's just like where did that come from? But I feel like that's true for a lot of people, that they're not necessarily walking away from church because they got the crap kicked out of them at church, although that's certainly true for many. I think there's also just this idea of a blending of the religions, and what does that look like? And can, you know, trying to find that weird balance where faith is no longer a bounded system, but it's a centered system, but is there still some kind of boundedness there?
Right. How do we say that it's okay to not sign off on what everything I consider to be Orthodox Christianity, but we can still hang out and agree on things and trust that that we're being sanctified by God's Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
And moving, and we're not moving at the same speed, but are we willing to be in community with each other? Yeah, that's hard. That's hard because it's a lot easier to draw really firm lines. And I think that's the kind of stuff that that I hope we get to talk about in this. So, one thing that I hope that we have in our time together is listener feedback, because I hope that we have listeners. And I hope that people feel engaged and want to ask questions and share about what's going on in their lives. But since it was kind of hard to do, since we haven't done this before.
This is like our first podcast.
Yeah. So,
I'm sure your mother has a lot of questions. Chris, why haven't you called me in a while?
Right. Hey, I called her on Wednesday, and it's Friday, so lay off.
That's good. That's more than I called my mom.
When was the last time you called your mother?
Jeez. I don't have a clue. Yeah. I have a wife now, so she calls her for me.
Nice. Well, so you want to hear? So I posted on Facebook and just said, "Hey, Kyle Sapp and I are recording today, tear gas and gumdrops episode one, and we need something for our listener feedback section." So. I'll share a few of them. Are you looking at Facebook?
Yeah, I'm looking at it. I did have a question for you. Were you intending on tagging people? Because on my computer,
they're not tagged. Yeah, for whatever reason, it didn't tag. I don't know. I did Facebook for a living, and I couldn't get it to tag. I don't know what the issue was.
Yeah, it's really simple, bro. I can show you. We can do a podcast about it.
Thanks. Okay, so one thing that we let's see, got some feedback from our good friend Jessica Weimer. J-Wime.
Yeah. Miss J-Wime.
You want to read that?
J-Wime asks, "When are Chris and Kyle," she knows how to tag us, "going to come to Philadelphia and visit your friend Jess? We have cheesesteaks." And then she did that face emoticon that is the... It's supposed to be the smiley face sticking out its tongue, but for whatever reason, the Facebook face always looks sadder than I think it is intended. Like, it looks sad that it's sticking out your tongue. But I think it's like a... Anyway, Facebook should work on that. To answer your question, loyal listener, I have no answer for that question. Soon...
Yeah, why don't you bring the cheesesteaks to Austin, and Kyle will come and eat them.
Yeah, I feel like there's got to be like a middle ground here, Jess. Jess should meet us halfway. Let's all go to Missouri. Let's meet in Joplin, Missouri, and Jess will bring cheesesteaks, and Chris and Kyle will bring themselves.
But do they have cheesesteaks in Missouri? You know, I lived in Missouri for 2 years. I don't even know what's in Missouri.
When did you live in Missouri?
I don't even remember. I think I was like 6 to 8.
Huh. Okay.
The show me state? I still don't understand what that means. It just
There's not a lot to see. It's like Branson.
Branson.
I wouldn't show that to anyone.
Okay, so let's see.
No offense, Branson. Branson. You're awesome.
It's for some people.
that should be their city motto. Branson, it's for some people.
We got feedback from our good friend James Holston that you and I just spent a weekend wedding-ing with, being groomsmen with.
I have a question for James, but I'm not going to ask it.
Okay. So I'll try to read this. Not sure how good it comes out as English, but
he wrote it in Canadian, didn't he?
Yeah, he's writing in his Canadian dialect. Question, Chris Morton, why is H-E double hockey sticks, are you still in church? More so, you're planting, question mark, exclamation mark, blows dot my dot mind dot from one whacked PK to another, love, love, love. So, yeah, First off, James, I appreciate your love, and I'm sure Kyle feels the same. And
he didn't ask me questions. He asked you questions.
Yeah, way to spell out the word whacked.
How else would he communicate that? Is there an emoticon for whacked?
I think we're going to have to do a whole episode about that. Maybe we'll do one each.
Yeah, that's cheating. That's cheating,
James. Why do you double hockey sticks? Are you still in church? Let's see what else we have here.
I can answer that one really quickly.
Yeah?
Yeah, I'm still in church because I love it.
All right. Yeah, but that's complicated.
I guess that's true. There's a complicated... Love is a complicated feeling, emotion, reality. All right, we'll do a whole blog post on it. Thanks, James.
Daniel Clark, who's a good friend of mine here in Austin, we used to be roommates, he asked, what would it be like if the church was like Batman dispelling evil on both a large scale and systemic and... micro-practical level.
Yeah, that sounds like a question somebody from Austin would ask.
Yeah, Daniel just finished his PhD and show that off.
Yeah, thanks, Daniel.
But points for Daniel clearly knows me well and is just knew I would read it if it said Batman in it.
Batman's the greatest superhero of all time.
It's not that Watcher guy. Not Eugene Peterson.
Eugene Peterson is not a superhero. He's a watcher.
Have you written an entire translation of the scriptures?
Not lately.
Yeah, I think that makes him a superhero.
Yeah, fine. Fair enough.
Paul Murphy. Do you remember Paul?
The name seems familiar. Shouldn't I know him?
Paul and Josh Murphy were brothers in college. He's like... just like incredibly driven little guy, short guy, but he would like outrun everybody else on the field. One of the funniest people I know.
Oh yeah, man. Paul. I remember Paul.
Yeah. Why does the modern church avoid talking about sin?
That's a great question.
This is like directed straight to Austin here. Why are we more likely to hear people in church discuss gluten instead of gluttony?
Such a clever statement right there. Like, I just want to post that on my tweeters.
Yeah, but I won't lie. We serve gluten-free bread for Eucharist at Austin Mustard Seed. So he is not...
And I won't lie. We actually added gluten to our communion bread.
Glutinous?
You can get more gluten. You can have extra gluten when you have our body of Jesus.
Yeah. Everyone is welcome unless they have celiac disease.
You got to draw a line somewhere, right?
Right. We practice an open table. If you're excluded, it's by your own dietary choices. let's see. Why are some people encouraged to use their gifts on Sunday and not others? We'll talk about that sometime. We'll talk about how to approach Sundays in a participatory way. And then he says, my spiritual gift is helping people move, and nobody ever asked me to get in front of the assembly and demonstrate how well I can carry a sofa through a doorway.
Weirdest church day ever.
But also, like, I think Paul would do that if he wasn't.
Yeah, well, I think we're
waiting for someone to ask.
Well, I think my simple response to that last question is no one's asked him to, you know, step up in front of the church and move a sofa through the doorway because church isn't a talent show.
Yeah, but maybe it should be. And it feels like a talent show if you happen to be able to sing or talk publicly. So,
or a man.
Or are a man, yes.
Yeah. Well, maybe that's, yeah, okay.
Man talent show.
Man talent show.
Yikes. And they look at me every week. Thanks to our listeners for feedbacking. I think we actually read everyone on the air. But that'll get harder as my mom continues to give us more feedback.
James has a second question that you did not read.
What was that?
He says, statement, comma, then question, just regular colon. As we discussed last weekend, the coagulation of various denominations and the blurring of their distinctives, in your opinion, what is the... I don't remember being a part of that conversation. Was that a you and him conversation?
Maybe.
Maybe I was a part of that conversation. Anyway, in your opinion, what is the impact going to be on the church, youth groups, American Christianity, Disciple, etc.? I think I read an article about that from Christianity Today years ago about the effects of the blurring of denominational distinctiveness.
Yeah.
And I have some thoughts on that, but that might take more. That could probably be a separate
blog.
That's
a good episode right there, yeah. I don't know if you heard that interview that Al Mohler did with Stanley Hauerwas, or as I like to say at the time that Captain America interviewed Batman, because it was just like a strange combination of different universes coming together.
Everyone has told me to listen to that, so I need to find it.
So good. Anyway, one thing Hauerwas just said is like denominal distinctions have become boring. Like we aren't distinct enough, so nobody cares.
Yeah.
And I think that's almost more of more inciting of the state of the church than anything. Is like, yeah, you've let what makes you special become boring. Man, that's hurtful.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think that from my context, something that we'll need to explore is I live within a denomination that doesn't necessarily, many don't consider it a denomination. And I was just having that conversation the other day with somebody. He's like, we're not a denomination, we're a fellowship. It's like,
And that's become more complicated as some people feel, I know we feel more in tune with a network of churches in a similar life stage than we do with other groups. And so what's the difference there between that? Does it matter? How does it matter if it matters?
Yeah, I think a big key, man, we're doing the whole episode right now, but before I forget, I think a lot of that has to do with context, that we are becoming a people who care more about context and seeing things as they matter in the real, and by real we mean present, that I can see, experience, life. And so this broad, abstract, doctrinal allegiance that we all sign into some kind of body or whatever is less important now because we're caring more about our here and now, present, real world that we live in.
And the question is, what are we losing in that? Because I think basically what you just said is we get caught up in being boots on the ground, that we're not as concerned about some stances and some ideas that might have meant something in previous generations. I think there's value to being present and caring about your context, but is there something lost in that?
Yeah. And that will be a great episode that we should
do. Right. All right. Well, that's all we've got for today, but we'll be recording more episodes. In the next few episodes, we're going to be kind of telling a little bit more about our story and ministry experience and why we're still at it, and just discussing some of the ideas that we came across today. And we appreciate you guys tuning in.
Thanks, Mrs. Morton.
Bye, Kyle's wife and baby.
Yeah.
Well, all right.